From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of November 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Nathan Kaufman of the Federal Reserve will help us explore the financial condition of farms and ranches across the United States and how the agricultural sector has been making its way through COVID-19 and the pandemic so far and what his outlook might be like for the coming months. And then we'll take a look at the weather forecast for the coming week or so. That with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. One of the things we'll explore in depth today, as we always do on a Tuesday, is the agricultural energies, and Dan O'Brien will be here from K-State University in Heston, Kansas, to talk about the ethanol industry and what's been happening with biodiesel. That'll all happen on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today finished 3/4 lower at 425 and 3/4. The March at 432 and a half, down 3/4. And July corn up 1/4 at 436 and a half. Next year's December at 412 and a quarter, 1 1/4 higher. January soybeans 1/4 lower at $11.91 and a quarter. The March at $11.93 and a quarter, 3/4 lower. And November of next year at $10.56, up a half cent. The bean oil futures for the day, 49 cents lower. Bean meal up $3.40. Soft red winter wheat, July contract $6.12, up 10 and a quarter. The hard red July at $5.80 and a quarter, up 9 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, February contract buck and a nickel higher at $113.95 per 100 pounds. The March feeder cattle at 138.12 and a half, up 85 cents for the day. And lean hogs in the February at $66.75, down 37 and a half cents. Crude oil, $1.82 higher. Ethanol unchanged. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 4 9/10 of a cent. And gasoline, a nickel and a tenth of a cent higher for this day. On this Tuesday, we're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good turnaround Tuesday afternoon to you, Wayne. Well, it was turnaround Tuesday at least for a while, I guess.
Well, it was turnaround. It just turned around twice in one day, Todd. So, I mean, we're having a lot of activity, a lot of things happen. You know, we have seen the London speculative funds come in the night and really push the market up, or last night they pushed it down on the rumor that the Chinese crushers had canceled 2-3 loads of beans because of the poor margins. And, of course, we come back in today, why the volume picked up, and here we go, and we come back, and we weren't down near as bad at the end of the day.
So this is something you've been warning about for a while. Will the Russian or will the Chinese actually take all of the beans that they have purchased? The margins are slimming up. Do you think that will happen?
You know, it's always a big question mark. We don't feel that the most trustworthy partners in trade that we have. But, you know, as long as it's economically sound, they'll continue to take them. In case this wasn't the big government purchases to rebuild their stocks, this was some actual just crushers that bought small amounts that way along the way. So, and we can see some of this. The one thing I do want to emphasize, though, we have not seen announcements of Chinese purchases in the last 3 to 4 weeks. And that is beginning to bother us a little bit. But we knew that that was going to be probably happen, that they would be looking and seeing if they had enough to get through to when the South American crop comes on.
On the flip side, beans are still, what, $11.90 for several of the front months.
Settled today, $11.91 and a quarter on the January, contract high for this year is $12. Wow, that's less than a dime away from the contract high, so it's not like it's a disaster today.
What are your expectations going into the holiday?
Well, of course, you know, we've got first notice day on the December contracts on Monday, so we're going to see a little more exiting of the December contracts rolling into the March, or just getting out of them here tomorrow and Friday. As we look at that, we're going to see probably a lot of people that maybe today or at least tomorrow by noon that we'll see them taking off for the weekend and not be back until Monday. So it's going to be somewhat of a thin trade, so we could see a little more exaggerated moves in what happens. But all in all, you know, one of the things, the noon weather today, the latest ENSO readings show a strengthening La Nina. And that is, of course, a little bit positive, and that's what one of the things that brought the beans back today, Todd.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things I think maybe we should explore, and you started to talk a little bit about it. There's the supply side and demand side. So let's go through the demand side to begin with for both corn and soybeans. It seems to be pretty good, but a lot of it has to do with China for both of those. Do you have fear there?
Well, we always, you know, want to look and see, number one, do we know, does China need all the beans they're buying, or are they refilling their stockpiles and they can get by for a little bit and see for that extra beans that we thought we would sell them, as with the delayed planting and stuff, Todd, and what's going on and what they're going to be able to do. A lot of that's going to depend on, and I think that's why they've held back now. Let's look and see what the weather does in South America. We could actually see them, if the weather continues to stay poor and you know, and they are not looking as having as big a crop down there, they could actually come back in and buy more beans from us when they see it down the road. But if the weather turns good down there, but that's not what the ENSO said it was going to do here. So, you know, they could actually back off and not take quite as many if they think they can get by to cheaper beans from South America.
Demand for corn, of course, is led by ethanol, feed, and then the export market. What do you think about those three?
You know, we're a little bit, I know that some of them are thinking that ethanol will be pushed as a green fuel for a while. They're hoping that the Biden administration will help put that back in as we go along the way. I'm not sure that ethanol is the one that that administration is going to be looking at heavily, but we are feeling good that we at least did see a rebound in the crude oil today. That way, and that is, crude oil has to come up a little bit to have the ethanol be able to be put into it or to be in demand, and we need to have miles starting to get in this. So, you know, if we have to get the vaccines out there, we got to get people back to driving and people back to work.
You know, on the flip side of that one, if not ethanol, biodiesel made from soybean oil, other vegetable oils, is considered an advanced fuel already on the RFS, a piece of legislation already on the books.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, well, basically along the way, we need a place for this bean oil to go and to stay strong, because this has been an oil-led rally moreover than a meal-led rally, and those are generally a little weaker. And if we have the good demand for that bean oil in the soy diesel, why, that's going to be very helpful as keeping these beans up.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hey, have you signed up yet for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits? I hope so. But if not, you'd better hurry up. More than 900, that's right, more than 900, some 960, in fact, have already signed up for these webinars, which start next Tuesday, a week from today. They only last an hour, and they'll run on Tuesday, Friday, and Tuesday through the 15th of the month. So there are five of them, just an hour each day, a half-hour presentation by one of the agricultural economists that you hear regularly here on Illinois public media, people like Scott Irwin and Gary Schnitke, along with others, including Mr. Kappas and Mr. Paulson and Mr. Sherrick. All are going to be available and there for you to listen to and ask questions of. I'll be there as well, moderating this series, but you've got to sign up and you should do it right now. It's free to register, that's right, and you only have to register once. That way you'll be signed up for all five of the webinars. Again, they start next Tuesday, December the 1st at 11 a.m. Central Time. Roll down at willag.org and you'll find a link to the Farm Doc Daily website, or just go to farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and look for IFES, I-F-E-S. You know, agricultural credit and farmer financial conditions are both a big concern for this year with COVID-19 and for next year as well. Nathan Kaufman is a vice president and executive of the Omaha, Nebraska branch of the Kansas City Federal Reserve. Speaking at the NAFB 2020 virtual convention last week, Kaufman said that the ag economy is showing some signs of improvement.
It's worth emphasizing and noting that this outlook has been far improved from 6 months ago. It's still not to suggest that the outlook is necessarily positive, but 6 months ago, some of the conditions were rather concerning in agriculture, especially as we looked at the months of April and May, or really the second quarter of this year. There are still risks in the sector, and as we go into 2021, I suspect that some of the risks and concerns we'll be discussing are largely those that we've been discussing the last several years.
Kaufman says going into 2020, U.S. agriculture has been in a gradual, but what he calls persistent downturn for the past 6 to 7 years. USDA said liquidity in the ag sector was predicted to be 15% lower coming into the year, even before COVID-19. Kaufman highlights four specific factors that made things rougher for agriculture during 2020.
Four that I want to highlight are as it relates to development surrounding travel. Obviously, we know that the restrictions and shutdowns that took place early on had a tremendous impact across our economy. Supply chain disruptions would be a second one, and then the shift from restaurants to grocery stores would be a third, and then I want to talk about exports and the value of the dollar as a fourth component.
However, things do appear to be improving for the ethanol industry, he says.
Whereas we were seeing sharp declines in travel and gasoline consumption and thereby ethanol consumption and therefore production, ethanol has returned to about 95% of its pre-pandemic level here most recently, keeping in mind that we were off by about 50% during the month of April. That's the first that I would highlight, is that travel has picked back up. Again, concerns about COVID, concerns about resurgence, but still recognizing that that has improved.
As for the meatpacking industry, it was hit hard in the early days of COVID-19, but Kaufman thinks production has ramped up since then.
Many of our meatpacking plants are operating very near their pre-pandemic levels. So whereas they were operating at around 60% capacity, those are operating for the most part close to where they had been prior to the pandemic. And so the bottlenecks that had emerged in the early months that were weighing heavily on our livestock markets are also considerably better.
Consumer food buying patterns are still a question mark, but they're starting to purchase more food at restaurants again.
Many households are still looking to buy food at other locations that would be grocery stores and restaurants as opposed to restaurants, which does have implications for food prices and commodities that go into that. But at the same time, the purchases are only down by about 10% as opposed to down by 50% in the early months of the pandemic. So many restaurants have found ways of delivering food or providing curbside service or other things that ultimately are able to meet the needs of consumers. So that being the third point.
One of the biggest reasons for optimism in agriculture is the rising export number, says Nathan Kaufman from the Federal Reserve. He says that's much needed good news for U.S. farmers and ranchers. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for taking time with us on this Thanksgiving week. We appreciate that. What do you see for the next couple of days, and then more importantly, for Thanksgiving Day on Thursday?
Well, we certainly see the weather getting what I'd call interesting. Anytime a meteorologist says weather is about ready to get interesting, that usually means there's some weather coming our way. We do have a storm system right now that is making its way out of the high plains. Some good snow in the Denver area and some snow out in the wheat area of Colorado, parts of southwest Nebraska, and parts of Kansas. This system is going to spread showers across the Midwest and Corn Belt right now, through today and tonight and into early on the day tomorrow. That system, though, will quickly head up into New England and through the Great Lakes. Now, behind that, as we get into Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, and into Friday, we'll see cool but quiet weather for most of the nation's midsection. And then we await the next push of colder, unsettled weather coming our way into the Midwest. As we get into the early parts of next week, it does look like it will be cooler and there might be some precipitation with that coolness as well.
Oh, I thought there was an edge of foreboding there in your voice for a moment, but it really sounds more like it's just the beginning of December.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. It's nothing extraordinary leaving late November into early December. It is looking colder. What we don't see yet is a big outbreak of really, really cold, what I'd call true Arctic air, but rather a tendency for a colder, more unsettled pattern. And when you look at highs and lows and averages, that's where a lot of that's going to trend. Now, I do expect the nation's midsection, especially maybe the eastern Corn Belt and the Great Lakes and into New England, to have the stormiest weather over the next 7 to 10 days. And there's going to be some wintry weather along with that.
Hey, thanks, Don. We appreciate it.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Each and every Tuesday, we take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien, Extension Agricultural Economist at K-State University, now joins us to discuss this marketplace. Hey, thank you, Dan, for being here. I take it you've been watching volatility in the ethanol market over the last several months.
Yeah, when you look at what affects the profitability of ethanol plants, even biodiesel plants, it's a balance between the cost of that main corn input, what's happening with the trends in those prices, and the trends that are occurring in the cost of the co-products. So there's grains, of course, makes up a portion of the output revenue stream for those plants, but for sure the price of ethanol, and I think. It's fair to say when you look at what's been occurring, kind of going back to the first week in October, we had an average, really the first half, about $1.33, about $1.35. Last 2 weeks in the month, we jumped up to about $1.41, $1.45 per gallon for ethanol. Went into early part of November, stayed there about $1.44, $1.42 thereabouts. And those were some decent times. Those first 2 weeks in November, when as we calculated what ethanol plants were doing, they were actually making money, 2 cents a gallon, which in the ethanol plant, we basically hadn't seen much of that since about August of 2018. So these were glory days, but then had a sharp drop in ethanol prices down to $1.28 for the week ending in that range thereabouts, for the week ending the 20th, and basically in Iowa, as I see things now, you're sitting right at that still, about $1.28. There's a range, of course, $1.16, $1.45. So the profitability of those first 2 weeks, there's some other factors that come into that. We'll talk about that in a minute if you have time, in terms of DDGs for sale and price of corn. When we dropped it at $1.28, we did see the DDG price also jumped to the high side to kind of offset that loss a little bit, up to $192 a hundredweight. It had been basically first part of October, $147, and has been trending up pretty steadily. And so this $192 is pretty strong. And when you look at current distillers grains prices in Illinois, Kansas, elsewhere, the top ends of our bids are all running over $200. So what we've kind of lost on the ethanol product side, we're gaining some back for the DDGs. The big issue, I think, though, is the price of corn. And back in October, average price was $3.77. Throughout the month, we went from about $3.55 up to $3.99 there in Iowa. And the profitability for the month was basically a loss of 2 cents. Then came into those first 2 weeks of September. Profitability, again, as we talked about, made a little bit of profit there, a lot of that DDGs. But then, again, that week of the 20th, as we talked about, when ethanol prices dropped to $1.28, DDGs went higher to $192, corn prices went to $4.15. And that dropped the profitability in that week, which had been 2 over to 11 under. So as you mentioned, we're watching volatility, Todd, and volatility changes in the corn market when they're combined with drops in the ethanol prices will be polite to say, tighter margins for ethanol plants around the United States.
Can you see any place in the United States that appears to have a competitive advantage in production? You mentioned Kansas and Illinois, but I don't know whether there is a competitive advantage that they have there and whether that shows up geographically or not.
You and I remember the days when the ethanol expansion was happening back in 2006, 2007. We built plants in the areas of the United States that had relatively poor grain basis, and that was South Dakota, Northwest Iowa, parts of Kansas, probably not the parts near the feedlots. They had pretty good basis, but we ferreted out, we searched out those locations. And now, there no doubt are some places like that, but this, what we've done in the ethanol market is basically seek poor basis areas out and build ethanol plants there and increase the basis. So we had more of that about 10, 15 years ago than we have now, because competitive forces have basically moderated what were weak basis areas.
What do you see in biodiesel at this time?
Well, biodiesel has, I guess by the model we use, we're looking at soy oil as a proxy for inputs. And yeah, there's a lot of things you can use for biodiesel right now for inputs. And the Iowa biodiesel price also. And you've seen prices move a little bit higher for biodiesel. They averaged about $2.98 during the month of October. During the month of, month of November so far, they went from $3.10 first week, $3.22 second, $3.33 the third, for an average of about $3.22. But even with that, just as the input price for corn been a big determinant of profitability for ethanol, even with their co-product sales, the rising prices in the soybean market, and as that has come over to soy oil, has really affected the profitability and hurt the profitability of what we estimate as break evens and nets for the biodiesel market. Basically, the week ending November 20th, we had the highest prices we've had in a month and a half, $38.4 per hundredweight for soy oil. And even though we had higher biodiesel prices, we still were showing losses at 17 cents a gallon. And that, Todd, I remember you and I were talking for a good long time, just marveling over parts of this year where, gosh, the biodiesel market was holding up, breaking even, making some money. And I think what's undone that, what's led to the demise of that situation has been the run up in the soybean complex and making it tougher for them to make any money right now.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time and telling us about the Ag Energies today.
Thank you, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.